Good afternoon, everybody. We're pleased to have with us. We affectionately, all of us in this room, know him as the Cat in the Hat, but a member of the 2019 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame and owner of Roush Fenway Racing, Jack Roush. Wanted to spend a few minutes with him and give him an opportunity and us an opportunity to get to know him a little bit better and get some of not just background, but his thoughts on going into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You had quite the exciting day on Wednesday, Jack. Tell these folks a little bit about how it unfolded from maybe, I think it was 5:05 or 5:08.
At 5 o'clock, we started watching the proceedings from the telecast from the Hall of Fame in downtown Charlotte. And, of course, we were in Concord in the conference room of the Roush Fenway office building. And about 5:05 or 5:07, somebody slipped into the door and whispered to me. He says, "Jack, there's a very good chance you're going to be nominated. You're going to be inducted." And he said, "You may want to go down there." And so Kevin Wood was with me, and he earned his stripes with me. He could drive a taxi for me in New York City wherever he liked. And about 15 minutes later, we were in the Hall of Fame auditorium there, and in the hall, and we missed Jim Hunter's induction, but we were there before Jeff Gordon was, and then of course I followed Jeff Gordon, and it's a great honor. I didn't let my hopes get up. I was aware of the 20 other nominees that were in the running for the vote. I appreciate the fan vote, which the fans have voted for me, and I appreciate the support of the other 70% of the other 19 voters that were participating. It's easily the biggest honor of my stock car racing career, and I'm deeply moved and really humbled by being placed in the presence of the 45 that have preceded me, as well as the four others that are being inducted at the same time.
It's been a few days now. Without getting into anything personal, who are some of the folks you've heard from and maybe some people you might not have anticipated that have reached out to you? Because I understand you had quite the number of phone calls and texts to look into.
I'm not a Facebook participant, nor do I tweet. And so I didn't get a true picture of what the social media interest would have been, but my email receipts and my text receipts have been unprecedented in terms of any other event that we've won, including the championships we've won. So I heard from Edsel Ford. I heard from a number of other Ford managers. I heard from Robin Pemberton, my first crew chief for Mark Martin. Of course, Mark was there with me, and he was very much in support. Fans at large, John Henry's my partner in the Fenway organization, the Red Sox owner. His sister called me or texted me. And I got a text as well as an email from her and from John as well. So it goes on and on. I've spent hours and hours trying to answer those to the extent that I could and show the respect that I had for the fact that they supported me and they were congratulating me.
We'll open it up to questions, but I think one of the most fascinating statistics that I found as we led into the voting day, you know, everybody knows about the 325 wins at the National Series level, the 5 championships, the fact that of the 55 drivers that have driven for you, I found it fascinating that only one had actually won a race in NASCAR's National Series before you hired him. Why that perspective, and how did you go about selecting these drivers that went on to win so many races?
Well, I talked to, as I made my plans to come down and start in 88, I discussed with Bobby Allison first, who had my deep respect and admiration for the fact that at the same time he was racing in NASCAR, he was also supporting a lot of the short tracks and the Saturday night or Friday night races around the country. I was building engines for a number of the racers in those fields, and I ran across paths with Bobby several times even though I was relatively unknown in stock car racing, he always took time to answer my questions and to show interest in what I was doing and who I was doing it for. So I went to Bobby first and thought that I might build a program around him, and he was deeply embedded in with the Stavola brothers from back east, and they were doing a nice job. I think, in truth of fact, they'd really just about turned the team over to him. He had his choice of who worked on the cars and what they did and what the setups were and when they built new cars, and I think he was in control of the engine development piece as well. So he really had the best of both worlds in terms of having all the power to do what he wanted without having to have the responsibility of making the business make sense. But he let it be known right away that he intended to finish his career there, and gave me some advice. He advised me that Mark Martin would be a guy that could probably be a candidate to build a program around. A number of other people gave me that. Gary Nelson gave me support, gave Mark support. I talked to Banjo Matthews about the cars. I talked to Rusty Wallace. Talked to Kenny Schrader. Talked to Jeff Bodine. And most of those had no interest. One of those had an interest in coming. I'm not going to say which one, but the majority of the established guys had no interest in going with a road racer in his mid-40s from back up north. In terms of starting my ability to start a team. A lot of road racers have tried and drag racers have tried, and none of them have been able to put a program together that was able to win and they were able to stay. And that was, I think, Mark's greatest anxiety to start with, and mine was as well, whether we'd be able to find success soon enough to generate the sponsorship to be able to go down the road. I had money saved and had support assured from Ford for 2 years as we started, but if we hadn't won that race in Rockingham in the fall of 89, I'm not sure what the result would have been, but it certainly was made easier by the fact we won in the second year.
Certainly worked out. Questions from here in the media center. We've got a couple of microphones on either side. Start here, Mike.
Mike Kimber, USA Today. Jack, of all that's happened over all these years, is there one thing that stands out in your career in NASCAR, or can you point to one?
Well, the Mark's first win in 89 was certainly a big thing. Without the support of Ford Motor Company in 88, I wouldn't have ventured into the cauldron of the competition as among teams and for sponsorship and for drivers and the rest of it. But finish answering a little bit of Winston's question about drivers. It was my interest, if I could, to establish and help a driver with a career that was not already involved, except for Bobby Allison. I really was looking to everybody else I talked to for advice on what and how to do it. And I had won 3 drag racing championships and a handful of road racing championships by 1988. I was 46 years old, and it was pretty much established. But when I decided to come down, when we decided, with Ford Motors Company's encouragement, we decided we would try to find a sponsorship and build a team around it. And when we decided to come down, I only brought one guy from Michigan with me who was a confidant and a really good fella. And all the other folks that I'd had success with, I left home because I didn't want to be encumbered by the lack of tribal knowledge that would flow to me, I felt, if I just was humble and ask for help rather than presume to show people what I knew, which was not relative to the competition and to all the mores that they were involved with stock car racing.
Seemed to have worked out over here.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Jack, as excited as you are about this honor, is it going to change anything for you going forward? I would imagine you've still got meetings planned for tomorrow and Tuesday and plans to make all throughout that.
I'm probably a little more relaxed. I tried to think what effect it was going to have on me, the winning or being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Of course, this was my third year of being a nominee, and I was prepared never to see an induction if that might be the case. But there's been some amount of anxiety that has spurred me through my adult life, and particularly my racing career, getting up every morning thinking about how I was getting behind and what I need to be doing to try to catch up on some things that maybe where I was in arrears on. And I'm a little more comfortable with where I am today, and probably a little less anxious than I have been on what my future is. We really enjoyed winning our first championship in with Matt Kenseth. That was a big window. We established something there. Of course, Matt won the Daytona 500 for the first time for us. Those were another big moment. But I'm probably a little more comfortable with where I am, and maybe a little less anxious about whether or not I'm going to really amount to anything here or not.
I would say you don't have to worry about that latter part. Any other questions that we have over here, Mike?
Jack, here on your left. Mike Solarte, Spectrum News. What would you say to the younger you right now after having gone through all of that you've gone through in NASCAR and motorsports and now being an inductee? Is there anything that you would change, and how would you advise your younger self?
Well, I would advise, you're saying young people generally?
What would you tell the younger Jack Roush from 30 years ago based on what you know now?
I Herb Fischel was a Chevrolet executive that was much in support of Chevrolet's involvement in road racing, where I was very successful before coming to NASCAR. And we were at a dinner or some social event that involved a lot of people, a number of our peers and people involved in the sport of racing. I don't know particularly that it was NASCAR at many levels. And I had been successful drag racing. I'd been successful road racing with putting together great people that had a vision of what needed to be done and how to do it. And I looked at the NASCAR thing the same way, and in a matter of speaking, I said, and he was within earshot of me, I said, somebody asked me how hard I thought it was going to be, and I said, well, if I get the right people, and then they can show me what I need to know, and if I have the wisdom to follow them rather than try to be too much in control right away, I think it might be just another hill to climb. And he stopped me just as soon as I finished the word. He says, young man, you'll find that to be a mountain. And he was true.
You're at the top of the mountain. Steve?
Steve Richards of PRN. Jack, do you still keep in touch with Larry Hicks, and do you expect him to be at your induction ceremony? I'm sure you would invite him.
I will invite him. Larry Hicks, in case anybody doesn't know, is the Sergeant Major's Marine Corps Vietnam veteran that was trained to extricate people out of the intercoastal waterways of Vietnam from helicopters that crashed and from boats that turned upside down. And so he saved my life in 2002 and gave me a shot at things. So otherwise, I'd miss my grandchildren, which I had no grandchildren at the time. I have five now. And I'd miss some of the most important parts of my personal life had he not saved me. But he came in the water. I was about 4.5 feet of water. I was upside down, trapped, had a concussion, had a collapsed lung, had air still in the other lung that I didn't exhaust. And 4 or 5 minutes later, after I went in, he plucked me out of the water and broke a rib, got me started breathing again, and saved my life. And he went to Talladega for several years after that event. It was a Talladega event weekend when I had that accident in Troy, Alabama. And he made several events with me. He's like all of us, he's getting older. And so he's more less patient with the traffic, I think, than he was for a time. And so he has missed more races lately than he's made, but he'll certainly have my thanks and have my invitation to come and participate with that. I'll arrange transportation for him if he'll come.
I hope our exhibits director, Kevin Schleicher, was listening. That's an important part of the story. We'll have to make sure that we tell as a part of this induction. So very special part of this this celebration that we're going to have. Got time for one more question. Anybody else?
Outside of Charlotte, or excuse me, David Rogers, Blind Rock News. Outside of Charlotte, do you have a favorite track?
My favorite track, I think, would be Michigan. It doesn't really have anything to do with where I live or where my home is. But Michigan is a track that Mark Martin found great success in early, and it's a place where you can go multiple grooves and you don't get caught up in somebody else's problem as much as you do someplace, even at Charlotte. And I like being able to race side by side and be able to keep the pedal down as much as you might. It's a test of engines, it's a test of aero, and it's a test of skill and courage on the part of the drivers, I think, more than any other. So I pick Michigan.
Well, Jack, as was referenced earlier, we know you have a lot going on this weekend and all the time. Thanks for carving out a little bit of time to come visit with these folks. But most of all, congratulations on an incredibly well-deserved honor. We look forward to celebrating your career with you over the next number of months.
Thank you, Winston. I look forward to being able to do this for a long time and with great success going forward. Appreciate it.
We do too. Jack Roush, ladies and gentlemen, member of the 2019 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame.